Turn your Bible to the book of Psalms.
Book of Psalms, chapter 2.
As we press a little more.
Arise, arise, Son of God. Let your enemies be scattered.
Abba, Hassan.
Arise, arise, Holy One. And let your name be praised. Arise, arise, Son of God. And let your enemies be scattered. Arise, arise, Holy One. Let your name be praised.
Let's sing it together one time.
Arise, arise, Son of God. And let your enemies be scattered. Arise, arise, Holy One. And let your name be praised. Arise, arise, Son of God. Your enemies be scattered. Arise, arise, Holy One. And let your name be great. Arise, arise, Son of God. Let your enemies be scattered. Arise, arise, Holy One. And let your name be praised.
Lift up your two hands to the heavens. Let's sing it in the spirit. Sing it in the spirit. It's not a song, it's a prayer. It's a prayer, it's a prayer, it's a summon to him that sits on the throne.
Your enemies be scattered. Arise, arise, Holy One. And let your name be praised. Arise, 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 Son of God. Let your enemies be scattered.
It's a battle song.
Arise, arise, Holy One. Let your name be praised. Arise, 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 Somaha Papa Kambreta Hata. And let your enemies be scattered. Arise, arise, Holy One. And let your name be praised. Arise, arise, Son of God. And let your enemies be scattered. Arise, arise, Holy One.
Your
heritage. Summon you, O God.
Unless your name be praised.
Arise, arise, Son of God. Let your enemies be scattered. Arise, arise, Holy One. Let your name be praised. Arise, arise, Son of God. And let your enemies be scattered. Arise, arise, Holy One. And let your name be praised.
The scripture, and then you summon the great one to arise. The king sits on his throne, but in certain occasions he stands up. The scripture said that the day Stephen was killed, he stood up. There is something about the righteous that can make the king to stand. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Is an effort in futility. This is a venting. Is an effort in futility. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But he that seated in the heavens shall what? Laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. In the next 5 minutes, ask God to speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Sabere sobantabala, abreko patambera sosana mantali, brekora brekola. Tambere sota manta bala, apete kopata bata talia. Let the king arise and vex the enemy, vex them, O God, vex them, O God, vex their camp, O God, vex them. He your soul displeasure. They have lifted up their words against your anointed. They have desired to have the righteous at their prey. But the Lord will arise and vex them in his sore displeasure. He will utter words. He will utter words in his wrath. Arise, arise.
We summon he that seated in the heavens. We summon you. Arise and laugh. Arise and laugh. Arise and vex.
Arise, arise, Son of God, and let your enemies be scattered. Arise, arise, Holy One, and let your name be praised. Son of God, and let your enemies be scattered, the enemies of the brethren, of the church, of your family, of your life, the enemies of the Lord's anointed. Arise, arise, Son of God. And let your enemies be scattered. Arise, arise, Holy One. And let your name be praised. Summon him, somebody. Summon him, summon him, summon him, summon him. Don't allow the king to be asleep in your boat. Don't allow him to be asleep in your boat. The tempest was carrying away the disciples until they beckoned on him and said, "Oh, are you not careful that we perish?" They summoned him, they summoned him, and stood up.
Believe you are conversant with what is in the book of Psalms chapter 91.
The scripture says, verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There are two places and there are two activities. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. You know, most times we have defined the secret place to to be the place of maybe prayer, fasting, and all that. But if you want to be correct in the exact context of what the scripture has shown us when he said the secret place, then you have to see what he said, because the whole scripture is littered with the consequences of a man dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. The first thing that happened is that he said that he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We need to know what is the shadow of the Almighty. Because every other thing became a consequence of scripture says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. So there are two key words there, which are active words. One is, he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall now abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So there are four things we need to consider. Two are actions, two are location. Are you with me? Are you even with me? Open your Bible. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 91, sorry. He that dwelleth. In fact, to see that scripture is to mean that there are people that don't dwell. But that is not our point. Are you with me now? That means that whatever is that is going on here is a deliberate engagement, where somebody begins to engage a facility that is in the spirit. And that facility is called the secret place of the Most High. Are you with me? See, many people have called it my secret place, but the scripture didn't call it your secret place. It said what? The secret place of the Most High. That is the exact, if you want to be correct, if it is true that the other phrase will be aligned, then it's not your secret place, it is the secret place of the Most High. You know, many of the time we have put a lot of emphasis on us. It so happens that you are not too important. The person that is important is God. So the importance and relevance that you have is traced to how much you have interacted with the one that is important. It is on the basis of that interaction that you become relevant and you become special. Are you with me now? In fact, I don't want to go further. As far as God is concerned, He only created two men, Adam and Jesus. The rest are just offsprings of these men, and everything that they are, you became as a result, as an act of authority. You were included inside them, so that when Adam sinned, you sinned. It doesn't matter that you are not there. When he sinned, you sinned. The consequences of his sin came on you. If it was not true, then the sacrifice of Jesus wouldn't have touched us. So the same way, the price that Jesus paid for sin, that salvation, the death, when the scripture said that when he died, we died. When he rose up, we rose up. You now see from these scriptures that you are not too important. As a matter of fact, when God, you need to understand where I'm going, so that you now, you will see the importance of when God deals with man, he doesn't deal with man directly, he deals with man either through Adam or through Christ. And for the believer, he deals with you through Christ. So the circumference of your experience as a believer is Christ. I've said it of my own. So if that experience is not found in Christ, it's not your own. Is it not simple enough? And you know them, there are too many things happening in your life that is not found in Christ. What is he doing there? So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. So we need to trace where is this secret place of the Most High. And then he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The scripture is trying to say that when you find the secret place and stay of the Most High and stay in that place, the resultant effect of staying there is that a shadow will be cast over you. It is by default. Are you with me? That the people that find themselves in that location have a shadow that is cast over them. When you go deeper in that place, they stop seeing you. And when any man looks, he doesn't see you again. He sees what? A shadow of the Almighty. So this is what this, if you have not established this fact, the whole of Psalm 91 is not for you. Are you with me? The whole of Psalm 91, you know, people, they say angels, he has given his angels charge over and all that. This, all these things you are seeing in the whole of Psalm 91 is traced to a particular personality that has kept something that is deliberate in an engagement. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The resultant effect is that he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Once a man comes under that shadow, then there will be utterances that will start coming out from your mouth. As a result, are you with me? As a result of that shadow coming on you, you will start uttering some things. The authority of your speaking is traced to the fact that you have the shadow on you. If the shadow is not on you, then it's just empty words. Satan knows too. He has given his angels charge over me. You still had accident. That means you are lying. Are you with me now? You are lying. You have not found the place where that reality dwells. The implication of interacting with that facility is that a shadow will be cast over you. What that shadow does to you is that he enables you to utter some words. Say utter. It is, that utterance is as a result of a location in the spirit. It is that location that affords you the authority to begin to speak certain words. And then the entities that are involved, we know. Demons, we know. Satan, we know. I have told you people a story. A guy I did youth service with came to a place. They have been shooting arrows to everybody in the family, and they brought everybody down.
So he came to youth service and they now asked, one of the uncles now asked and said, where is Okechukwu? He said, Okechukwu is doing youth service. Say, I know, where is he? Say, he's doing youth service at Ogun State. The man went back, came back and said, you have not told me where Okechukwu is. What other answer does that man need? You have already told him where Okechukwu is and he's doing youth service. He's still asking, where is what? Wherever Okechukwu is, he's under the shadow of the Almighty. Eyes, the vulture's eyes can see it. The lion's web have not trodden upon those that place where the shadow is casted upon men. So anytime we come, our journey is to locate that secret place. It is secret. Do you know why it's secret? It's not everybody that finds it. Many do many business, they don't find the place. They finish praying, they didn't find the secret place. They come out and Satan still attack them. The reason is because you did not what? Find the secret place. The target is that when we come into engagement, we find the secret place. That is the only place where certain things are afforded to us. It's not as if it's no more a prayer point. When you find the secret place, it's no more a prayer point. Oh God, cover me with your blood, cover me with. It's good. But when a man finds the secret place, those things are no more a prayer. It becomes a reality. The shadow is cast on the man that has found the secret place. By whatever infrastructure that God intends to cast that shadow, he will. Are you with me? Sometimes he does it by fire. Sometimes he does it by cloud. Sometimes he does it by smoke. Sometimes he does it by the blood. Sometimes he does it by light. A glory that nobody can approach. But what is important is that these things I just named are God's substances. And these are the content, the makeup of his clothing. Are you with me? The shadow is like your mother that wore wrapper now. And then he now covered you with wrapper. You need to know that it's not everybody that your mother will cover with wrapper. It is somebody that know how to enter where? The secret place. The secret place of the person. No, the secret place of your mother. And once you enter into that place, they will use wrapper and cover you. Sometimes it will be George. Sometimes it will be Hollandis. Sometimes it will be what? Buba? Sometimes it will be what? Nigerian words, please run away from. Are you with me now? So, when you begin to do business in the secret, just locate the secret place. The more you stay there, the more the shadow is cast. The shadow is cast. The shadow is cast. If you do business long enough, what we notice is that the density of the shadow that is cast will be increasing. It will seem as if you are sucked into that realm. Satan doesn't want you to get into the secret place. He will want you to stay in the outer court, to be doing business like other people. Meanwhile, the reason why not many people are found in the secret place is that it will take you everything that you are. For a man to admit you into the place of that is secret, that means you are no more an outsider. Many people don't want to be there because they don't want to pay the price of the secret place, the price of intimacy. There is price of intimacy. One of them is commitment. One of them is loyalty. Imagine a guy that maybe you are married, you finish sleeping with your wife and then went and slept with another woman. You have violated the law of intimacy. Is it not true? Now, many people intend to be idolatrous and adulterous. That is why they cannot keep the law of the secret place. And because they know that they are not willing to keep the law, they keep praying Holy Ghost fire, praying all those things. Meanwhile, these things you are saying, cover me with the blood, cover me, is good. But that shadow, what you are trying to do, the reality behind those prayers people are making, oh God, cover me another, is the shadow. The shadow is the reality. whatever you now call, the name you call, well, is good, but the reality is what? The shadow. And that shadow is as a result of engaging the secret place of God. This is where God doesn't admit many people. If you now find yourself in that place, there is a consequence, a resultant effect is that the shadow that is the substance of his making, will begin to come over you. And these substances, for example, if it's light, the scripture says that God dwells in the midst of what? If Satan tries to approach that light, he will be reduced to the element with which he was created. It is on that day he will now find out that indeed he was created. And everything that is created can be reduced to the element with which it was created. The only thing that can be reduced is the uncreated things. So when you begin to interact in this, what happens to you? The light. It will overshadow you. When you come out from that place, Satan will be, you will pass where Satan is. They won't see you. Haven't you read it in the scripture? They wanted to catch Jesus. The scripture said he passed in their midst. How does it happen? Have you ever bothered to think on the scripture? They want to catch Jesus. He now passed in their midst. Something was covering him. Something. The secret place of the Most High is not your secret place. I don't like your secret. Me, I don't. Even you, for you to trust your secret place. What can your secret place do? Even you should not like your secret place. The secret place we are looking for, is the one, the king, the monarch of Zion. He begins to unveil himself to you. He will remove his boba, and then the thing will cast on you like a mantle, like a covering, like a shadow. Are you with me? No matter how thick the sun is, it's not for the man that has a shadow over him. No matter how scorching. Are you with me? It's like you are inside a bunker and they are throwing bomb. Are you aware? You can be there sipping tea. All you know is that the shadow has been cast over you as a result of dealing, doing business with the secret place of the Most High. Let's find it. I need you to pray in the next 1 minute. Ask God, let the past not be hidden to me. Let my eyes be open. And let my will be yielded. Keep me there. Let me stay long enough that the density of your shadow will be strong. That shadow is the presence. That shadow is the light of God. The glory of God. The shadow is his garment. Is his clothing. My God. You stay long enough, God will wear you his garment. Today we'll look into the realities of our preservation. So when we say reality, what do we mean? You have heard people say reality. The reality of the fact is the real, meaning that fact is not reality. The reality of the fact is, my sister, what do we mean by reality? You are correct. The substance of the matter. It is with reality that we substantiate matter. It so happens that God doesn't deal with anything except reality. That is why it will take the Holy Spirit for you to know where God is. Are you with me now? It will only take the Holy Spirit to know where God is. Because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of what? Truth. Or rather, you say the spirit of what? Reality. So what the Holy Spirit does is that when he touches a thing, touches a person, he just touches and ministers reality only. I've said it many times. when you say, Lord, help me to love you more, help me to love you more, what do you think the Holy Spirit will do? Some people will think that what the scripture means when he say, Lord, I want to love you more, you will now see Jesus. He will now be walking like this and be saying, my son, I love you, I love you. That is good. But what the Holy Spirit does when you pray that prayer, sometimes you can even have that encounter and still not know much. But this is the reality behind even that encounter, is that a substance will be ministered into your heart. Huh? You suddenly woke up in the morning and for no reason, you that can't pray for 1 hour will be praying for 6 hours. You will just be praying like this and say, Jesus, and tears will be coming out from your eye. You say, macho man like me. We were there now. Me and my friend, when we were doing youth service, we wake up in the night. My friend, his name those days, they used to call him Ojuku. You know what Ojuku means? It means that the man doesn't laugh, he doesn't smile, and he has beards like this. Glory to God. So he doesn't have time. He doesn't have time for anything. But in the night, say in the night, the two of us will be crying. What is wrong with that type of man? That is a macho man that even his fellow men are afraid of. And ladies, everybody, but in the night, he does what? There is a reality that is ministered into his heart. The only way he can express that reality is to start crying. The reality is not the tears, but it's the reality that is causing what? So, one damsel that time. Wait, should I tell you about this one? The damsel. Okay, I should not. He is the one that wants me to tell it. Oh. The damsel, let me tell you. The damsel went to school abroad and all that. He spent about 10 years abroad. So she came back and you know the grammar changed. I don't want to call my friend's name. I'm tempted. And if I call it now, it will give credence to what I want to say. So if the damsel want to call your name now, your name is what? Daniel. He's Daniel. Oh my God. You will melt like butter. So let me continue the story I'm telling you. What happened was that the damsel, he liked that my friend a lot. So as the two of them became friends, as the thing was, it was going, until Jesus started drawing my friend. Like what our brother said yesterday, the horse leech. The horse leech was saying, give. So my friend can only give to one. So, but the pull of Jesus was stronger than the pull of what people call love. Because as far as that lady is concerned, is love. But you don't know love until you know Jesus. So what happened is that as the horse leech was drawing him, he decided, my friend found out that the one drawing him this side is stronger. So we'll be praying together and crying in the night, crying. Meanwhile, that my friend will meet that damsel and will never smile. And the way, but in the night he's crying. No. Damsel now met me. Say, damsel met me. And damsel asked and said, Astobahat, and said, why is that real? I've called the name. He asked, why is he crying? How can I help him? If you see the grammar, even me, I was tempted to help. Valo, even you like it. And I know you like this sort of thing.
May they not catch you.
Why is he crying? How can I help him?
Hey, Jesus Christ. I went and told my friend, I said, they said you need help. The damsel doesn't know that this type of help, she can't offer it. This is not amongst the help that you can offer. A reality has been ministered inside the heart of that man. Huh? And he began to, the only way he can express that reality is to what? Began to cry. The love he had for Jesus was not the cry, but the love made him to what? So that means this is how the Holy Ghost answered a prayer he was making. He imparted a reality. So this is how the Holy Spirit communicates. He imparts the reality. You are the one that we express it. Are you with me? Normal teachers, we teach you, they will teach you with words. But as they are teaching you with words, the real teacher himself, who is the real teacher? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will be teaching you reality as the teacher is teaching you. That is why I can be saying something and 1,000 people will be blessed. Why? I'm saying one thing, 1,000 people are blessed. That means that even as I'm talking, the real teacher is taking from my words and ministering to each heart the reality. You can even live and say, I'm blessed. You cannot really articulate in words what made you blessed. But you know, your spirit bore witness that today you are what? Has it not happened to you? And there are days you left, you are dry. You cannot say it. But you know that you came to church today and you left dry. So there are three realities of the preservation that we have in the kingdom. Three. Say three. Let's start with the number one. The number one is the reality of he that is in you. He that is in you. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Are you with me? This is a very mighty scripture. Have you heard that question that was asked and said, what is man? Have you heard that scripture? I believe you know what they meant. Remember, the scripture did not say, when I was young in Christ, when I hear what is man, in my own mind, I interpret it as who is man. Meanwhile, that's not what the scripture is saying. You can answer who is man, but it will take the Holy Ghost. In fact, you can never be able to answer what is man with natural capacity, and on earthly perspective cannot give, you know, explanation, definition to what is man. What is man? If I ask you who is man now, you can answer, who is man? The Son of God. There are many things you can answer as who is man. Is it not true? But what is man? Justice. I know you can answer, what is man? If you don't know, what is man? Oga, defend Bible school. You went to Bible. You need to defend that Bible school you went to. You need to defend it. What is man? Joshua, as you are laughing, I now know you know the answer. So what is man? Tell me in any all the call. Oh my God, bring Mike so that his generations will hear his answer. So give us the context.
you know, take this thing as Viva, you know. Is Viva, they call it, right? Where is OJB? Is Viva, right? Take it as Viva, my God. No, you can sit, you know, this is executive class.
From Genesis, I got to know that man is a replica of God.
Made
in the same image as of God. And then somewhere in the Bible, I also noticed that the Bible said, as he is, so are we in this world. And that we are also gods. So from my little perspective and understanding, after Jesus, we are the begotten of God.
Let's clap for him. Don't laugh. If you laugh, come and give him mic. Who are the people that laughed? You laughed at him. Everybody born. He's not his. But your answer tends towards more of who is man. Give him. We need to answer this question. If we answer it, you will not know this first reality. Actually, who is man is enough. He's good, he's very good. But if you want to go very deep, you now find out by knowing what is man. Because the scripture where he asks, what is man? He said, what is man thou that God visitest him? In fact, for it is needful for you to know that word visit, so that you will be able to understand better what the scripture meant by what is man. It means that whatever man is, he is such a thing or being that can demand a visit from God. My brother is more lost, but I will help you. We'll find my answer.
Okay, Papa, you have once told us that a man is the only entity that can carry the fullness of God.
Yes, no. Where did you hear? Ah! Oh, you took expo. Kai! I forgot. I wouldn't have allowed you. But it's good. It's good. So what is man that God visits him? God's only interest, you need to know that whatever man is has made man God's interest in the universe. In fact, the scripture came to a point, he started saying that everything are yours. What is he trying to say? It means that the circumference of all creation, you know, the center of everything is the activity that goes on between God and man. Every other thing is to facilitate that activity. If you want to know who is man, you need to know who is God. If you want to know what is man, you need to know what is God. Because what God did was simply to find an expression of himself. So for you to better understand this, in the Garden of Eden, the scripture says that in the cool of the evening he comes. I don't want to go deep, because it was Paul that was analyzing to us what is man, and he found out that what is man cannot be explained until we understand the mystery of Christ. He said that this is the purpose that God had in his heart even before the foundation of the world. Are you aware of that? So when you go there, you find out that Paul was saying that this mystery is so deep that it was not revealed to the prophets before their time, but in the dispensation of the end of time, God have decided to reveal it to his holy prophets and apostles.
Now, this is what God intended. He said it intended that he will sum all things up in Christ. Are you seeing it? He will sum all things up in Christ. And it is because of that that he created all things by Christ. This is where man now comes in. Man comes in because man is the body to that reality. Are you with me now? Man gives tangibility to that reality. So if it is even possible that God will fulfill his purpose, are you with me? Then man has to be the channel. There is no other way. So if God is angry with man, after being angry, he will still what? He will still what? Come back. Man is the only creature that have that capacity. Even if God leaves, he will still occasion a visit. Even if you leave, he will still what? Come and seek you out. Because there is no other way through which he has ordained to fulfill his mandate. From, not just in time, from time to eternity. The scripture was speaking. He said even in the ages to come. And we have found out, of course, beyond the individual man, that there is a corporate man. I know this thing seems massive. Let me say it the way it will be simple. God decided that there are things I want to do, and decided the way to do this thing is to create himself in a way that is tangible. So he created man, and then decided that the way to bring himself into this realm is to now pour that himself, he now pours it into man, to the point that when we now gain the fullness of God in that man, it will be literally God operating through that man. Are you now getting the point now? So whatever God, the invisible God, is no more invisible because you have given him body. Now, beyond the individual person being able to do this, there is also the corporate man, which we now call what? The body of Christ. So what God will have everywhere is a group of people that have the same desire, that have the same will, that have the same motivation, that have the same purpose to do the will of him that created them. And it so happens that when God finished creating man, he has proposed that all of those his plans can only be achieved through that man. Are you with me now? And so because he's only man that can carry him, angels can't carry him. No matter how high that angel is, what other option do you have? If at all God wants to, there is no other creature that can carry him. Meanwhile, remember he seeks to express. Say express. Don't want to go there. It will take us deep. We have already analyzed that the spirits seek to express themselves, and the scripture said that God is what? 1 John 4:4. Ye are of what? Ye are of God, little children, and have what? Overcome them. The question is who? Who did you overcome? Let's start from verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that he should come. And even now already is it in the world. Are you with me now? Now, he now said, ye are of what? God. That spirit is in the world, but ye are of what? Little children, and have overcome them. Now, the reason why I went back to read is that you know who is them. Whatever and whoever is the Antichrist and all his machination is what? Say them. And the scripture said that ye have what? Overcome them. Why? Look at your scripture. Why? So, there are two personalities and there are two frames of reference. Is it not true? The frames of reference, one is what? No. Is what? The two reference points is the word and you. Say the word and what? This thing looks as if is the same. Are you not in the world? But the scripture always says you are in the world, but you are not of the world. That is to say that as long as, are you with me? As long as a believer is in this world, God can inhabit this world without touching this world. Are you not seeing it? So the believer is the only possibility of God being in this world without touching this world. So there are two locations that somebody can be in. Either you are in the world, either something is in the world or is inside of you. So the scripture now said that there are two entities. One is he that is where? In the world. Do you know who is in the world? The scripture called him the spirit of Antichrist. You know what is, who is the spirit of Antichrist? You know that is the project that Satan has. What's project Satan? If we need to know project Satan, we need to go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, where the scripture prophesied. He said that the serpent shall bruise your heel, the woman, and the woman will what? Bruise his head. That is where the prophecy came from. So the seed of the woman, so it is in that place that the prophecy of seed came forth. So Satan knew that his, the only possibility of him waging any warfare is to get seed. Say get seed. And he knew that the possibility of stopping God is to stop God from getting seed. By the time you are getting to the book of Genesis chapter 6, Satan has already put a project in motion such that by Genesis chapter 6, the scripture says that the type of wickedness that is on the face of the earth is that the scripture says man is wicked from the day of his youth. The truth is that man is not always like that. Man was taught in wickedness. That spirit that teaches man in wickedness is the spirit of what? The Antichrist. The target of the spirit of Antichrist is to stop God from having seeds and to enable Satan to have what? His seed. So the scripture now said here that that spirit is already at work. He said that it is at work where? Say in the world. This is what it means. Anytime you set yourself up to serve God, that spirit we you don't need to say you know, that spirit will automatically be against you. But the scripture said that he that is where? In you. Put your hand on your chest. Pray for 1 minute. In fact, don't pray. Just declare to yourself, he that is in me. Don't say any other thing. He that is in me. He that is in me. Gain consciousness. Gain consciousness. Gain consciousness. He that is in me. 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 Gain consciousness. Gain consciousness. When you confess things, it enters into your consciousness. Confession takes things into your consciousness. Confession takes spiritual things into your consciousness. He that is in me. He that is in me. You can add, is greater than he that is in the world. Is greater, is greater, is greater, is greater. Confess it, confess it, confess it. Let your consciousness come alive. Let your consciousness come alive. Let it 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 come alive. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. In Jesus' name. So no matter the demon that is in the world, he that is in you is superior. Are you with me? This is the first basis of preservation for the believer. It so happens that we are created, we tend more to the sense realm. Is it not true? We are most, if not that you are born again, all your education came from the natural realm. What do you study in school? Geology. You see it. So you are interested in the earth and everything, testing matters, the laboratory. If your testing materials, your tools cannot give you reading, you are in trouble. There is no other way to come to a conclusion of a matter as far as the natural man is concerned, except he goes to the lab to what? Test it. But you have found out over time that there are matters you cannot get the answer from the lab. It defies, COVID-19 defies lab. Say COVID-19 does what? It is part of the things that is in the world. Eh? Is it not true? Up to today, HIV defies the lab. There are many things that have defied the lab. So imagine if we trusted you trusted in the lab, you are in trouble. In fact, if it is true that our capacity to bring preservation, God's capacity to bring preservation to believers is unnatural, we are in trouble. There are many things we cannot do anything about. I'm trying to tell you that your primary means of preservation is from inside. It's not outside. The scripture said in the book of Romans, he said, if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, do you know what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead? The whole of hell shook. Call it the battle of Aquedomai. Do you know that? Have you heard that story? Huh? The story of what? The battle that took place in the underworld. Oh, you have not heard it. You need to hear that story. It's an interesting story. There is warfare that took place in the underworld before Jesus now came out. Haven't you heard that story that said he led captivity captive? Have you tried to trace when did it happen? Did Jesus fight any physical war? Did he fight any physical war? So when did he lead captivity captive? Where did it happen? Read and ponder. Read and ponder. So there is a warfare that took place. I'm not here to define. Another day we will deal on warfare very soon. Now in that place, something happened. Jesus was able to conquer all the hosts of hell. Eh? But it is by a reality that thing happened. You see, there is an injustice that happened when they took Jesus to the underworld. It is only a man that have sinned that can be taken to that place. But God was able to engineer. There is an infrastructure in the spirit. There is a mystery, rather. That mystery is called substitution. Say substitution. Satan is not aware of substitution. There are many things he's aware of. In fact, he thought he knew too much. That's why he started his own government. But he found out that he actually knew very little. Are you with me now? So there are many mysteries. As soon as when Jesus came on earth, there are many mysteries that was unraveled as a result of him coming upon the face of the earth, so that he will be able to prosecute the project of redemption. Are you with me? One of the first was incarnation. Say incarnation. There are many things that I don't know. For example, before man came, the only way he knew creation was by multiplication by creation only. But he didn't know multiplication, creation by reproduction. He was not aware. I hope you know Satan is not aware. Everything God created before man was not by reproduction. Before that time, it wasn't by... God will call them, they will come forth. God will call them, they will come. But when man came, he just brought out two people and gave them capacity. When they come together, they have intimacy, they will now produce. Satan was shocked. So there is this possibility in God. So when Jesus came on earth, that mystery, that is one of the reasons why many faiths, according to where we read, John told us that this is one of the ways you know the spirit of Antichrist. Any spirit that denies incarnation. Don't ask. Any spirit that denies incarnation is the spirit of what? Antichrist. What is incarnation? That God had the capacity to come in the flesh is a mystery. Satan didn't know that possibility. I don't want to go far, but it is only possible. That mystery is only possible because of a personality. Who is that personality? The Holy Ghost. You see, when Jesus was walking upon the face of the earth, he had two fathers, or rather, he had three fathers. Do you know how many fathers did Jesus have? I'm confusing this, my man. But it's in the Bible. Jesus will come to a place, he will say, "My Father that is in me." In some places, we say, "My Father that is in heaven." But there is his father that is Joseph too. So how many fathers did he have? So there is his father that is in him. That one is the Holy Ghost. Many years ago, Benny Hinn was teaching about the Holy Ghost and called him the father of Jesus. Almost said the man spoke. Until I started reading the Bible, I now calm down. Don't think you know too much. Calm down and read the Bible. How was Jesus conceived? So who is his father? They told the woman, "The Holy Spirit will what? Overshadow thee." Are you now seeing it? So this is the point. When Jesus was in that place, there are two things that happen. One, substitution, injustice happened. And God was aware that Satan will take Satan is the wicked Satan. And God knows he's a wicked Satan. That is why some of the time, the things you pass through life, process is as a result of Satan, God taking advantage of the wickedness of Satan to train you in life so that you perfect character. Are you with me? So he knows that Satan is wicked. So he will just present it like this. He knows that Satan will not refuse the idea of making you poor. I hope you know. Hi, the thing is too tempting for him. He will like you to struggle. It is too tempting for Satan to allow you to have everything free in life. But this is what Jesus will do. This is what the Holy Ghost will do. He will take advantage of the wickedness of Satan and build character in you. By the time you are through with process, if they present money to you, you know, you will now know that indeed money is a servant. It is the process that it was Satan that was doing it. He didn't know that God took advantage of his wickedness and worked character into you and brought you to the man that you are supposed to really be, which you wouldn't have been if you were not allowed to pass through what? Process. So God knew that Satan will not refuse the idea of killing Jesus. So Jesus prophesied. He said, "If I be what? Lifted up." He knew he can't lift. If he lifted himself, he's suicide. So he needed to be what? Lifted up. So Satan was thinking, he said, "If this man sin, do you know what they did? There is something they did. They did substitution. And they saw sin on Jesus. They didn't know it was not a sin. It is the soul that sinned. That what? You didn't get it. It's not about sin. It's who sinned. Who sinned? Did Jesus sin? There was sin, but it was not his own. But the law in the spirit realm is what? The soul that sinned shall what? But the soul that Satan killed was not the one that sinned. He just saw sin and what? God knew he wouldn't reject it. So he said, "I don't catch him." He now killed him. And Jesus went inside that place, an innocent man. He went there also, a righteous man. Both innocent and righteous. When he stepped into that place, then the God of justice cannot allow that injustice to happen. Oh, It is on that basis that he now sent forth his spirit even into the depths of hell. There is nobody that enters hell that comes out. There are threefold cord that holds people in the underworld. Do you know them? One is what? Hell. The second one is what? Death. The third one is what? Satan. If these three, you see, sometimes Satan trusts in these three facts. Nobody has escaped death before. Jesus was the first one. That is why there was a doctrine that was going on in the time of Jesus. One of the that doctrine is that there is no resurrection. If there is a possibility of resurrection, then Satan has been defeated because he trusted so much in the power of death. So much so that Paul was given an exegesis in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, "O death, where is thy what? What is the sting of death? Huh? Sin." You are correct. Why did you stop? The sting of death is what? It only takes sin for death to come. So Satan brought death on Jesus. Bam! Only for him to find out. Very late. Oh. Ah, say very late. Those things Satan is doing in your life, you will find out very late. Very late. Because he will come and do something, press you, do, you will now wake up in the night. You didn't plan to pray. Oh, you are not with me. You notice this period, we didn't plan to do much. You just plan to, but he has done some things. Now we have added night vigil to the fasting, to the prayer, to the bedpans. By the time you are through, it's not only that you will deal with Satan, you would have grown large in the spirit. That the possibility of oppression at that level is no more tenable. Are you with me? There are possibilities of oppression that is not tenable at a certain stature in the spirit. A small baby like this, we say, "I will beat you. Will you bother?" Sometimes I will even do my hand like this. Come and beat. The person will do boo and do his hand like this. Because you are the one. Is it not true? There are in some levels, rank, stature in the spirit, there are possibilities of affliction that is not tenable. Are you with me now? Follow me. So this is where I'm going. He that is in you is where I'm going. Are you with me? So God now sent the Holy Ghost. Huh? Because there is injustice in the land of the dead. And God need to balance the scales. People don't understand who the Father was. He is such a man. He is the holder of the divine scales of justice. The scripture says that his throne is established upon righteousness and justice. So anytime God looks upon the universe, his intent is to bring order. Anytime a man is unjustly treated, God comes on the scene and tries by all means to bring justice to the matter. So when he looked upon what was happening in hell, he knew that a man has been held there unjustly. He said, we need to intervene. If the ecosystem will be imbalanced, there needs to be an intervention even in the dredges of hell. And they sent forth the rod. He sent forth the rod of his strength. The capacity of that rod is it can pierce through. By the time he was coming into hell, the light was so strong that all the hordes of demons were blinded. In the narration of the battle of Aquedomai, the scripture said, having spoiled all principalities and power. You need to go to the Greek language to understand that scope well. That type of battle in the old times is the battle that, you know, that battle, you know, you can see Christ in the Old Testament. That you can't see it is because you don't have good goggles and lenses. That battle of Aquedomai is graphically explained when you look at the battle that took place between David and Goliath. Have you read it? That is the best way I can explain the battle of Aquedomai for you. Because in that battle, this whole side of warriors, they brought out a champion. See, a champion. This side brought out what? Whoever wins, the whole of these people will be subject to these people. Goliath came out. He said he has experience in warfare. I don't even know why David chose 5 stones. It is, in my own opinion, it is still to attest to the fact that indeed this is the battle of Aquedomai. That the man standing is not the physical David. There is a spiritual David inside the physical David. So as soon as Inan killed Goliath, the whole of the Philistines became subject. This is the way it happened. When you kill the man you are fighting with, you strip him of his armor. That is what it means to spoil principalities. By the time you are through, your enemy, they will be naked. And the worst thing that can happen, do you know? If you go to war or police or all these things, anything happens, they will bring back your gun or bring back your clothes. They will never leave it. In fact, most times they don't leave their corpse in warfare. Do you know? You strip the man like this. A whole warrior, you stripped him naked. Carried all his weapon. That is Aquedomai. That is what the Holy Ghost was able to do. That is why the scripture said in the book of Ephesians that there was a time God expended the greatest of his power. He said this happened when he did what? Raise Christ from the dead. He now said, if that same spirit, you are not speaking in tongues for 2 minutes. If that same spirit, hey, mana kosaba, tehese tokama, pante komahante beresosa, tekumbra tapahanta, tera asemo kambre, mana. If that same spirit.